Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A century ago, British Olympian Eric Liddell refused to run on Sunday. Made famous in the movie Chariots of Fire, he held to a conviction that the Lord's Day was sacred. These days, people look forward to Sunday football games. Have we gone off track? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments as he brings a message on what Sunday should mean to you.
Those of you who saw the film Chariots of Fire know that the focal point of the story is a young man by the name of Eric Liddell. And what made Chariots of Fire so appealing was that this young man, a great athlete from the University of Edinburgh, was going to join the Olympics, and everyone knew that if he did, with his tremendous running speed, he would win and probably break all records. But the problem is that the trial runs, the trial heat to get into the Olympics was on a Sunday, and he would not run on Sunday. No way. The Prince of Wales actually tried to convince him to run on Sunday and told him, why don't you just simply set aside this particular little conviction you have and just run a race that will take only a few minutes? And Eric wouldn't. He stuck to his convictions. Now, interestingly, I think if I remember the story, someone else ran in his place and then eventually he was able to get into the Olympics and he won. But the question is, should Eric have run on Sunday? Would that have been all right? Would you have run on Sunday? Let me ask that question. Today we have baseball players who play on Sunday who are Christians, and football players play on Sunday, and many of them evidently are born again Christians. And so what should our response be? We find in the Bible, God said very clearly in that famous, controversial fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then God goes on to give the details. Do not do any work. Don't let your oxen do any work. Don't let your servants do any work. And if anyone does any work, let him be put to death. What a commandment. What a controversy that it has generated. People don't know quite what to do about Sunday. You know, the Puritans believed that Sunday should really inherit all the regulations of the Old Testament Sabbath. And so they had certain restrictions. You could, for example, comb your hair on Sunday, but you couldn't shave on Sunday. In fact, I remember my own father would shave on Saturday night when we were growing up, and he would not shave on Sunday. I don't know how many of you have that kind of an upbringing, but those kinds of ideas are very prevalent. Back in the eastern United States, when these issues were discussed with the emphasis of Puritanism, there was a young pastor who lived in an area where there was a lot of ice and snow, and one day he skated to church on Sunday. And the elders didn't know what to do. I mean, is it right that a pastor should skate to church on Sunday? And so they met together to discuss this big, huge problem, and the final conclusion was, yes. They told him, you can skate to church on Sunday just as long as you don't enjoy it. That's the conclusion that they came to. So the question is, what do we do about Sunday? Now, in order for us to understand this, let's first of all recognize that in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was a very holy day. We're talking about Saturday. The Sabbath was a very holy day. And I'd like to suggest that that day had certain characteristics, and the first characteristic was rest. It was a day of rest. Now take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2, where we can see this clearly spelled out. It says in Genesis chapter 2, where the Lord had created the heavens and the earth, it says, thus the heavens and the earth, I'm reading verse 1 of the second chapter, the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts, and by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done, and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of the work which he had created and which he had made. That's a startling statement. Here, God is creating and he rests. Now, have you ever created one single thing? No scientist has ever created anything out of nothing. And here God is creating billions of tons of material by just simply speaking the word. Obviously, we would think anybody would be tired by the time he got to the seventh day, wouldn't he? And the text says that God rested. You'll notice in the passage we read from Exodus, it says that God was refreshed on the seventh day. You know, we read that and the theologians tell us, well, of course, God wasn't weary. And I guess we'd agree with that. I mean, it's heresy to think that God needed a break because he had been working so hard all those days. And yet I might just, in the interest of promoting a little heresy, ask, how do we know that God wasn't tired? Maybe he was. But very probably the real reason why he rested is not because he was tired, but rather because God was emphasizing right from creation that there is a principle of one day in seven that ought to be observed. And God was so anxious to build this principle into the very fabric of the universe that he himself laid his own reputation on the line and his own example on the line and said, I myself rested on the seventh day after working six. Now, what we learn from this passage is not just that God rested, but also that God worked. You know, there is another side to that fourth commandment. It says, of course, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but the rest of the commandment says, 6 days thou shalt labor. Work is a gift of God. You say, well, you don't like all the gifts that God may have in mind for you, but work is a gift of God. I feel sorry for people who can't work. You say, well, it came about because of the fall of man. No, you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Well, since your Bible is open there, look at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And that was prior to the fall of chapter 3. So God expects people to work. Blessed is the person who can work. Work keeps us out of a lot of trouble. You know, I feel sorry for people who are so wealthy that their children inherit millions of dollars or even thousands of dollars and the children don't have to work. That is one of the greatest curses you could possibly put upon children, is to make sure that they are well taken care of and they never have to work. Work is built into the fabric of life. God says, I worked, you work. But the other side of the coin is God says, I rested, you rest. You know, the fourth commandment is a tremendous blessing because God is being generous with his people. He's saying, I am taking into account your human needs. Rest is a blessing of God. We always think that people are lazy and they try to get out of work. That's often true. But the other side is that there are so many people who will work themselves to death if given a chance. So God says, 6 days you work and you rest one day. Did you know that that is best for our bodies? During the French Revolution, the idea arose that they wanted to take France and to cut out of its social life every single vestige of religious influence. And so the social planners of the day realized that this idea of one day in seven is a Judeo-Christian idea. Don't tell the ACLU, but anyway, these folks recognized that it was. So do you know what France did in those days? They decided to go on a different schedule of one day of rest in 10. But it did not work. People became weary. They found out that they became unproductive on the job. Their body was not able to handle it. And one of the French social scientists finally said these words. He said, "Let us observe Sunday in the name of hygiene, if not in the name of religion." So you see, your body was built in such a way that it needs one day of rest in seven. That is the very best way that you can take care of your body. It is one of the most interesting pieces of social legislation for God to say, 6 days thou shalt labor and one shall be a rest. So you have Marxist countries that talk about the good of the working man and the need to take a day off, 1 in 7, and those Marxists don't tell them, but they don't know it. The idea of 1 day in 7, not 1 day in 10, but 1 day in 7 is a biblical Judeo-Christian idea that is woven right into the fabric of all civilizations. Whether you are in China or Thailand or wherever, there is 1 day a week that is set aside and is special. God says, number one, it should be a day of rest. And if you're working 7 days a week, you are violating what God has laid down. You are rebelling against God's intention for man. There's a second characteristic. It should be a day of reflection. A day of reflection. Turn to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Notice what the Lord says here in verse 12. He's reiterating the Ten Commandments, and he gets to the fourth again. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, where the text says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male and your female servant may rest as well as you." By the way, don't you get the impression that God didn't want them to do anything on that day? At least that's what seems to be coming through to me as I read that verse. "And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you up out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Rooted in creation, yes, but also rooted in redemption of the people of Israel out of Egypt. What God is saying is that you ought to keep that day. It is a day to reflect upon your life in Egypt and the redemption that God has brought about.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. As you know, the question of Sabbath keeping versus worshiping God on Sunday, there are different opinions about it, but this much must be emphasized. God is holy, and ultimately He is Lord of all of our time. I believe that the Ten Commandments are very relevant for today. That's why I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters. The subtitle is The Ten Commandments, Jesus and You. What I want people to understand is, on the one hand, yes, the holiness of God, but also the grace of God. And there at Sinai, we see God in such holiness, in such grandeur, that it is indeed frightening. But thank God for the cross. For a gift of any amount, we're making this book available for you. Remember the title, Why Holiness Matters. The subtitle is The Ten Commandments, Jesus and You. We believe it will help you on your spiritual journey, and let me thank you in advance for helping us as we continue with Running to Win, sharing the gospel around the world.
Erwin Lutzer, beginning What Sunday Should Mean to You, a look at the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Next time, more about the command to observe Sabbath rest. Eternity will reveal how faithful we were on earth. That's Why Holiness Matters, the title of a book by Pastor Lutzer that describes the holiness of God as expressed in the Ten Commandments. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. 215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.